Only thing I don't like about that skit is that it makes it appear that the woman is without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and that she never is moved to look towards an attractive man or ever has wrong thoughts. And that's just not true. The truth of it is that we have since our youth, and we will until the time we go on. And I think it's horribly wrong to project to a woman or a young girl especially that sometimes when she struggles or has thoughts that maybe aren't godly, that she's a horrible person, because she's not. She just needs to learn how to, like the rest of us, how to deal with those things. So, that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. And then while you're turning, I'm going to pray for us, okay? Father, help us. I'm going to try to emulate Jesus as he spoke on the mountain that day, speaking to a mixed group of men and women and boys and girls, talking about something that's sensitive. And I just need your help. I want to say what you once said. I want to say it in a way, Lord, that will be meaningful and helpful and non-offensive, but yet practical and useful for our lives. And Lord, we ask you to help us. I ask you to anoint our ears that we can truly hear what the Spirit has to say. And Lord, anoint me that I'll say only what you once said. So I ask you to help us in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, would you say amen?
Yes.
Amen. Say, help him, Lord. Yeah. Well, we're in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and the series is called Living in the Kingdom. Jesus has invited us to come and live in his kingdom. He says, I want you to come, and I want you to live in my kingdom. I'm going to tell you how it works and how it functions. It's not an external kingdom. It's not a kingdom out there, but my kingdom is within you. And so the things that he's teaching us and showing us are our attitudes and how the kingdom operates and is supposed to operate within us. So this is Living in the Kingdom. And today's title is Kingdom Morality. Kingdom Morality. Last week was Kingdom Murder. You know, and now it's Kingdom Morality. Next week will be Kingdom Marriage. So these are the things that we're going through here, trying and attempting to see how to live in the kingdom of heaven so that we can live abundant and blessed lives. So, as we get started today, what I'd like for you to do for me is an exercise. It's a little bit dangerous, but I think we can pull it off. What I'd like for you to do is, if you would, imagine, use your imagination, and go to your favorite vacation spot. We'll have people that will go to the ocean. We'll have people that will go to the mountains. We'll even have some people that will go to big cities. So wherever your favorite vacation spot is, I'd just like for you just to go there right now and allow your imagination to take you there. That's what's risky about it, is getting you to leave here with your minds and then trying to get you back so that I can preach to you. But anyway, just do that for a minute. Now, I'm an ocean person. How many ocean people do we have here? There's lots of ocean people, lots of ocean people. I can hear those waves. I can see those waves coming to the shore. I can imagine walking down the beach on the wet sand and the sand squeaking under my feet. I can imagine catching a big fish out in the ocean. That's what I like to do. And I can imagine being in my boat and how that rod feels. And I can imagine all those feelings and the breeze in my face. And it's a great thing to do. So if you are the ocean type person, that's what you think about probably when you think about going there. Mountain people. Now, mountains, you go all the time. How many mountain people we got? A lot of mountain people. Not as many as the ocean people, but I guess it's because we kind of live in the mountains, you know, and so it's a little different. But, you know, the mountain, you know, you go there anytime in the fall, autumn of the year, the leaves are changing and it's so beautiful. Oh, all those colors and radiant things and the hiking trails. Maybe you like to go in the winter when there's snow on the hillsides and the ski slopes and, you know, maybe you like to do that, or maybe you just like to cuddle up in the chalet, you know, with a fire. And your honey, you know, that's you're imagining those kinds of things. And that's good. That's good. Now, city people, there are people that really like to go to big cities for vacations. Any city people in here? Yeah, we got a few. We got a few big. You guys need therapy. You know, you You know, you like to go shopping and you see yourself going into the shops and the skyline. You see the skyline of the big cities and the big buildings. And maybe you like to go to Broadway and, you know, and catch a live show or something, you know, or a presentation and singing. And you're expanded and it stirs you, those talents and things up inside of you that you enjoy doing. And, you know, you can hear the taxi cabs and you can smell the exhaust fumes and you need therapy. You just I want you to do one more with me. If you're old enough to do this, and you younger ones, just go back as far as you can. But if you're old enough to do this, go back to where you grew up and sit at the table in your mind. Sit at the table with where you ate at. You know, like in my home, I would sit, and we had this white table, and I would sit, and my dad would be over here on the end on my right, and my mom would be on the end to my left, and my sister would sit right across from me. And I can remember how exactly that was and how that felt. And and the television was right over here, and I'd be watching television while I was eating, and I guess that's why I do what I do today and when I eat. But anyway, my mom was sometimes in the kitchen cooking chicken, and she loved to bake. She'd baking pies. I can smell that if I want to. You know, I can imagine that, and I can just imagine those things. Now, the purpose of my exercise to do this is just to show you the power that's in imagination. It can take us to where we would like to go, or it can even take us to where we've been. It's a time machine in our brain. You know, it's our imagination. Yeah. It can stir us up emotionally, and it can stir us up physically, and it can stir us up sexually. It can separate us from being like animals, or it can take us into the darkness of being just like an animal. It's a powerful thing that we're created to have, to give us vision, to help give us purpose, to help our lives be fun and exciting. The only thing I can't imagine is life without an imagination. And it's about that Jesus talked today. It's about that power of imagination. So, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27, I want to talk about this. I want you to read that along with me. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's from the heart that imaginations come. It was interesting to me that I saw this years ago, but it's interesting to me that the first use of the word heart in the scriptures is also the same place that the first use of the word imaginations and thoughts are used. If you're a Bible student, you know the importance of first use. First use is the use that every other use comes from. It's like the first seed of anything. The first corn seed. Every other corn seed must have its DNA back to this corn seed. And so the first use has something to do with every use throughout scriptures. So what we're seeing here, and what I want us to see, is the unique link between the heart and the imaginations. Now, when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about this pumping muscle that's in the center of our chest. It's talking about something far deeper than that. It's in our spirit, in our soul. It's the very core of our being. And when Jesus says that you've already lusted or you've already committed adultery with her in your heart, what that means is in the core of your being, in the centrality of your experience of life, this is how you think. This is what you are. Now, I want you to see these verses, and so we'll be on the same page. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that what? Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuing. Now let me give you the context real quickly, because I wish to have 2 or 3 hours we could just sit here and go through some scriptures and look at some stuff. But in this context, Noah has been called or is about to be called to build the ark. And God is about to bring the deluge, the flood, on the earth and wipe away all humanity, except for Noah and his home. And in the context, there's a sexual implication. In the context of it, it's talking there about the sons of God coming and being with, having relationships with, the daughters of men. And it's in that context that he says, your imaginations. You can read this in Genesis chapter 6. And your imaginations are only evil continually. Somehow, the imaginations of and the sons of God would be the angels of God. Somehow, the imaginations of that day and that age were so vile and wicked that women were imagining having physical relationships with the angels. And it's from that imagination, it's from that that situation that it says that there were giants in the land. Nephilim. And because of that, it's because of those wicked imaginations, and because they had created these giants in the land from their wickedness, that God says, I am going to destroy all humanity, except for Noah. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so he did. And then the flood comes, and then we find the second use of heart and the second use of imaginations again in the same verse. And I want us to see this one. This was right after the flood. Noah offered the sacrifices, and in Genesis 8:21 he says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, God has a heart. So this is interesting, isn't it? The very core of God, God's being, says it's the very base, the very inner part of God that makes God tick. God says in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Hallelujah. Even though or for the imaginations of man's heart is evil from his youth, and that's extremely important. I want you to hold on to that. You know, from our youth, we struggle with thoughts. From our youth, we struggle with imaginations. And it goes with us for the rest. You're never too old to imagine, good or bad. You're never too young to imagine. From his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living, as I have done. I like that. You know, I just like that. You know, that's good news to me. Even though God says, man, I don't care how wicked he gets, or how evil his thoughts are, or how perverted he gets, I will never again destroy man.
Right.
Yeah, you didn't get that, did you? All right, let's say it again. I don't care how bad things are, or how wicked people get, or how bad they do, or how awful their imaginations are and things they do, I will never again destroy the earth.
Right. Yeah.
Now that's big to me. And that helps my theology. But I'm not here teaching theology. I want us to understand that God says, I've got a plan. I'm not going to flood it again. I'm not going to burn it up. I'm not going to trick them and say I won't flood it and then burn it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. That's not my plan. My plan is to bring Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is going to take away the sins of the earth. And he's going to wash that humanity. He's going to wash that heart. And he's going to change the attitudes of that heart. So that heart is not thinking evil continually.
There you go.
I've got a plan. Yeah. We're right smack dab in the middle of that plan. Yeah. Well, hallelujah. And Jesus said, he says, if you look at a woman and look and lust after her, and if a woman looks at a man and lusts after him, then you've already done it in your heart. To Jesus, adultery was not simply the physical act. That was only half of it. That was the external aspects. See, his kingdom is internal. The physical act is external. But what's going on in your heart? Jesus says, if you get that part right, we don't have to worry about that external part. You know, the external is half of it. The internal is the other half of it. And one is just as bad as the other. Well, I know you don't believe that yet. But he says, you've heard. You heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say. Now, Jesus quoted the seventh commandment. from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. He quoted it exactly. What's wrong with that commandment? I'm asking, what's wrong with that commandment? Nothing's wrong with that commandment. It's what they heard. It's what they heard. What they heard is, it's okay if I commit adultery in my soul. It's okay if I commit adultery in my spirit, as long as I don't commit adultery in my flesh. I can fantasize and take that as far as I can, and it's okay, as long as I don't do the act. And Jesus says, that's what you've heard. But I say, how many of us have kind of heard something like that along the way? It's okay if you fantasize. Let me tell you what we've heard. We've basically heard that. Because we know that everyone does that, and so therefore, it's okay. No, it's not okay. And we've got to learn how to deal with it. What you've heard is, it's okay. Let me put it in very, very clear terms. It's okay to take an individual, a beautiful creature of God, and bring them down into a sexual object in your mind. It's okay to take a creature that God has created, His precious treasure, and make that person nothing more than a sexual image to satisfy our flesh. We've heard that's okay, as long as I don't really do it. Jesus says it's not okay. In fact, if you were to look at spirit, soul, body, two-thirds of the being is guilty. Spirit's guilty. Soul's guilty. You just hadn't done it in the body. And probably all of us could say, or most of us hopefully could say, that I've never committed adultery. But have you? According to the thoughts of Jesus, have you? So let's make real sure we understand. Well, it's quiet in here today. Let's make real sure that we know exactly what Jesus says. I think this is important, to know exactly how we get into the kingdom, because except our righteousness surpasses the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, we can't go in. So what does He expect from us? How does He want us to live if we're going to go into the kingdom of heaven? So let's read that particular verse in Matthew 5:20. And here's what He says. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses, goes beyond that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly do what? Not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, whatever kingdom of heaven is to you, if it's a present event that you can now experience, or if it's a future event that you'll experience when you die, or if it's both and, doesn't matter. That's irrelevant, because you'll go to into neither if we don't get this one right. Let's see exactly what He says in 5:29. We've read the first two verses. I want to read the last two verses of the passage where Jesus is expounding on this. And here's what He says in 5:29. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. To be what? Thrown. Where will this type lifestyle and this type thinking take us? Do we see this? This is serious. He goes on, verse 30. For if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to what? To go into hell. Jesus is pretty clear. And I want to make sure that we understand. See, a sinner's prayer won't stop this. You can say all the sinner's prayers you want to, but if you're thinking like this, if you're fantasizing and reducing a creature of God to a sexual object, you're not going to heaven. I don't care how much tithe you give. You know, bringing a bull in here and sacrificing a bull is not going to wash that from you. I don't care how much serving you do. or how many preaching messages you prepare and bring. If my thought life is that corrupt and dark, I am not going to heaven. In fact, I'm going to hell. This is tough, folks. It's tough to stand here and say this. I wished it would. I wished you could give an offering. You know, I wished I could take a goat out there and spend a couple of hours butchering it and burning it, and I was okay then. But it's not like that in the kingdom. That was the old covenant. That's what they had heard. But in the new covenant, I say to you, what's going on in your heart? What's really down there in the core of your being? Because that determines where you spend eternity. I began thinking about this. I saw that age and gender are not the problem. You know, I was thinking about Jesus on the mountain that day, and he's preaching this message, and you know, there's women and men and boys and girls, and just kind of like this. And he says this, and he says, you know, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say, you know, when you lust after something in your heart and you fantasize and you imagine it, you've already done it. And you can imagine, because that was something you just didn't talk about then. That was something that you didn't talk about in a mixed group. That was very difficult to talk about that in a mixed group. But Jesus did it. And you can imagine when he said that, the gasp that went through the congregation. You know, did he just say what I think he just said? Does he mean what I think he means? He shouldn't be saying that in front of my wife and kids. Well, somebody needs to say it. And I'm glad he had the boldness to stand up and say, here's how my kingdom works. And if you want to come into my kingdom, I'm glad to tell you how it works. I'm glad he stood there that day and said it. And some of you better be glad that I'm standing right here today and saying it. Because it could keep somebody from going to hell. I was thinking, you know, years ago, I was in my 20s. And I had all the testosterone running in my body that an average, maybe I had a little more, I don't know. But I had a testosterone going through me. And I was a supervisor at a cotton mill. And I had a guy working for me who was called a fixer. And he was 53 years old at the time. And I remember it because I remember the conversation. We were having this guy talk thing, you know. He and I were having this guy talk. And somehow we ended up kind of in a conversation like this. And so I said, when does the drive, when does the power of that drive finally subside somewhat? And you get a break from it. He paused. He put down his cigarette. He said, I'm 53 years old. It ain't gone away yet. Now, I have to admit that my motor doesn't run quite at the RPM that it used to. And I was sharing that thought one time in a teaching that we had done a couple of years ago. And an elderly gentleman came up to me, 30 years my senior, and said to me, speak for yourself. My point is, you don't grow out of this. It's not gender specific. It's from your youth until your end. It's not going away. Boy, I wished it would. Another thing I saw is that society is not the problem. You know, I was thinking about the society to which Jesus spoke. Was the most religious society that's ever existed in history. I mean, this is how they dressed, like these mannequins over here. The woman was totally covered. Not an inch of skin was seen. Even her face was veiled. A guy dressed similarly, except his face wasn't veiled. You know, But yet, Jesus says to them, you're lusting in your heart. What was there to lust after? If... But yet, we want to blame our society that that's the problem. That's not the problem. The problem is the heart. And I have to ask you, now when you walked in here and you saw the mannequins up here, which one was your eye taken to? What are they doing today? What? I just love this place. I just love this place. But, you know, okay, let's work here just a second, because I really want us to see that we can't blame society for this. See, fixing society will not fix the problem. If we stop provocative television, will that fix the problem? If we take any kind of sexual insinuations and images out of the movies, will that fix the problem? If we take all those magazines off the magazine rack, will that fix the problem? What about the internet? We make certain, we shut down the internet. Nobody can go on the internet anymore. Will that fix the problem? No, because that's not the problem. I know what we'll do. We'll get by us an island out in the Pacific. And we'll go out there with our families where there's no television, magazines, internet, movies. Now that'll fix it, right?
Okay, let's go.
That fixed the problem. I know. All of us guys will become monks and we'll move into a monastery where we can't see women. And all you women become nuns and move to a convent. And then you can't see me, and that'll fix it, right? It didn't fix it in the prison systems. And not having internet or movies or television didn't fix it in Noah's day. Didn't fix it in David's day. Didn't fix it in Jesus' day. The most religious society that's ever existed, this was spoken to. It's not society. We can't blame society. Society is not the problem. Heart's the problem. And the imaginations of it. That's the problem. So what is the solution? What are we to do? Go to hell? I can handle my anger, you know, and... You know, and I can live with my wife, and I can forgive those that's offended me, and but what about this? What is the solution? If I can't blame society, God's not gonna let me stand before him and say, well, it was society's fault. He says, no, it wasn't. Well, it was my age. No, it wasn't. It was because I was a man. No, it wasn't. It was your heart, Delbert. So what is the solution? And I'm glad that Jesus not only gave the problem, but he gave the solution. So let's look at the solution, okay? You ready? Let's see what he says to do. Verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. Now, stay with me. Stay with me, because we're going to save some people from going to hell today. Okay. Here we go. Now then. I got some gauze and some Band-Aids and some rags. Got a little alcohol so we won't get any infection going on here. I got a spoon. In this bucket, we can put all the eyes and the hands in here. So I thought we'd just do some surgery today, you know. So we'll gouge out your eyes, your right eyes. And then we're going to cut off your right hand. Yeah. I wondered about that. What if you're left-handed? He said right hand. So we're going to do the right hand and the right eye. Now, you guys come on. Line up. Who wants to go first? I think the elders should go first. What you say? All right, they are the leaders. They And after they're done, after I minister to everybody, then I'll do it. I want to serve. I want to serve today. I want to keep somebody from going, you guys aren't lining up. What's the problem here? Come on, we can throw them all in here and throw up. We can avoid hell today. Isn't it interesting that Jesus had two eyes and two hands? And nobody on the hillside that day lined up. How many knows that's not what he's talking about? See, surgery won't fix the problem. So what is the solution? What's he really talking about here? If you gouged your right eye out, let's say somebody has a horrible addiction to sex things. You know, they're sexually addicted. And, it's horrible. You know, hundreds of times a day, images bombard their minds. And they have to fight this off hundreds of times a day. And so they gouge out their right eye. Will that stop those images in their heart? After the pain is gone, their heart is going to have images again. If they take out both eyes, that's not going to stop the imagination of their heart. Okay, so that didn't do it, so let's cut his hand off. So we whack his right hand off. Will that stop those imaginations and those images? No. Because when the pain stops, he'll learn to use his left hand. You guys need your minds washed. Okay, how about his testicles? I know I'm getting real plain. Will that fix his heart? No. Okay, she has a sex change. She has sexual surgery. She changed hers. Will that fix it? No, because the organs are not the problem. Where else could you go? Because that's not the problem. The problem is in the heart. See, it's not because the right eye did anything wrong or the right hand did anything wrong. It's because of the heart. So I want to read those verses again. And this time I want to read verses 28 and 30 again. But this time what I want you to look for is the problem. I want you to see if you see what he's really saying here. In Matthew 5:28 says, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, where's the problem here? It's the heart, but what? Back up just a little bit. The lustful look. Lustful looking. The individual is seeing the woman as an object and not a person. Is reducing the person to a simple fantasy. That's the problem. When we don't see people for who and what they are, and only for a satisfaction momentarily. Look at verse 29. If your right eye is causing the sin, do what? Gouge it out and throw it away. If the eye is causing the sin, then deal with the eye. Do all you need to do. If it's causing you to sin, get that sucker out of there. Do what you got to do. And throw it away. Get away from it. Get it away from you. Because it's better to go into the kingdom of heaven with one eye than it is be thrown into hell if that was the problem. And if your right hand is causing you to sin, now what's causing the sin? The right hand. If it's the problem, cut it off and throw it away. You deal with the problem. The eye wasn't causing the problem. And the hand's not causing the problem. The heart is causing the problem. And it's not the heart, it's the imaginations of the heart. It's the lustful look. So we've got to deal then with the heart. We've got to deal with the lustful looking. That's the problem. It's not the eye or the hand. You guys wish I'd put this axe down, don't you? Duran says, you're not going to throw that today, are you? So this really isn't. Just these are images, though. This is the seriousness of what he says to do with the problem. Get that thing gone and dealt with. That's what he's really trying to say to us. Deal with it. The way the person saw the other person was the problem. A man sees a woman as only a sexual object and has reduced her down and has that attitude about a woman. When a man only sees a woman as a toy, as an object, as a fantasy, as a sexual object, that's the attitude you need to deal with. That's more. The woman is not a sexual object. The woman is a person. She has a spirit. She has a soul. She has a body. She is a creature of God. She is a treasure of the kingdom of heaven. And we've reduced it down. If a woman sees a man as a toy, as a security blanket, that's the wrong attitude. It's not the hand or the eye that's causing the problem. It's that attitude. The attitude that we deal with people is the problem. The way we see people. And sometimes guys are raised up in life to look at women in that perspective. And sometimes women are raised up in life to look at men as only security. That's the problem. You got to deal with that. Get the right perspective about people. Let's go a little deeper. When a man looks at another man, or a woman looks at another woman and sees a sexual object, there's a problem there. It's a bad attitude. You don't cut his eye, pluck his eye out or cut his hand off. You know, sometimes you want to, but the problem is the heart. Got to deal with the heart. That attitude. Let's go one more. When an adult looks at a child, see something sexual there? There's a problem. There's an attitude. And it's got to be dealt with. If not, hell awaits. If not, we won't live in an abundant lifestyle. We won't live in the kingdom of heaven. We won't be abundant in our lives. This is serious. It's extremely serious. It shook me this week as I've never been shaken before. Delbert, stop those thoughts. Stop it. You've got to deal with it. One more thing as I'm beginning to close. Jesus made this personal. He said, if your right hand, you deal with you. The effects, the things that fuel my engine may not be the same thing that fuels your engine. Let me give you this example. We're on vacation one time, and we were having some things happening up here in Lafayette, and I just wanted to get out and pray. I wanted to talk to the Lord about it. I wanted to see what He had to say about it, or what I sensed He felt to tell me to do, to tell people to do about it. So anyway, I said, I'm going to go out on the beach. I told a buddy there, I said, I'm going to go out on the beach, and I'm going to walk up the beach, and I'm going to pray. He said, sure you are. Yeah. I said, what do you mean? And he said, yeah, all those women out there in those skimpy swimsuits, yeah, you're going to pray. That's great, great arena to pray in. And I said, all I want to do is go pray, you know. See, that's not my problem. That's not what gives fuel to my engine. I went off walking and thinking about that. Well, obviously that is his. But I can't go into a dark theater, even if I put a patch on my right eye and tie my right hand behind me, if the images are lewd and sensual? Because that fuels that thing inside of me. And I have to cut it off. I have to gouge that out of me. I have to take whatever necessary steps are required to keep me from fueling my engine. Cut that off. Pluck that out. Do whatever needs to be done to stop fuel from getting to the engine. You take a gasoline engine, but you cut the supply of gas off. What happens to the engine? You take a diesel engine, you cut the diesel fuel from coming to the engine. What happens to the engine? Stops running. You take an electric engine, you unplug it, you take the electricity away from the... I don't care what kind of engine you've got. If you will stop the fuel from going to that engine, you'll stop having that engine running you. Cut it off, pluck it out, do whatever's necessary. But deal with it. Deal with it. Do you remember the story about the mother telling her young son that he would go blind if he continued to lust? Remember, you guys are afraid to laugh now. You're afraid to do anything, aren't you? So if you keep doing that, you're going to go blind. And the boy responded to his mother, said, "Can I lust until I need glasses?" you know, we're like that. I mean, that's a joke and it's funny, but we're like that. We want to get as close as we can, think about it as long as we can, and that in lies the problem. A lot of us need glasses, and we need to stop. It's that serious. And I had to make a covenant with my eyes. I had to make a covenant with myself that I would not look at certain things. And Job did this. Job did this in Job chapter 31 and verse 1. I want to read you the scripture. Job says, "I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl." What's Job saying here? I refuse to feed my lust. Because I know if I look long enough, if I look often enough, if I look with the wrong attitude, that it's going to do something inside of me. Something unwholesome. Something that could eventually send me to hell and surely remove me from the kingdom of heaven. Some of us need to make a covenant with our eyes. We need to make a covenant that we will not look at certain magazines. We need to make a covenant that we will not go to certain movies. Watch certain movies, even in the privacy of our living rooms. We need to make a covenant that we will not go to certain websites on the internet. And you can only make that with yourself. It's very personal. If your eye, if your hand, nobody's going to be able to control you. This is up to you. It's a personal thing that you've got to make a covenant with your body, with your eyes. It's that serious. Job says, "I made a covenant with my eyes. I will not look and lust at a girl." I spent this past couple of days, Thursday and Friday, with some pastor friends of mine. Went to Huntsville to see the guy that was very instrumental in my coming into the kingdom of heaven, and got to tell him how much I appreciate him. He's in bad health, and so I had an opportunity just to go and tell him what he'd meant to me and everything that I had been able to do for the kingdom and in the kingdom of heaven since that time. And then I was able to spend time with some pastor buddies of mine, and we just spent the night together, and we talked and we shared. And one of them has just come back from a men's retreat. And he was telling me that a teacher in this men's retreat was teaching on sexual addiction. And he was telling the people, he's teaching them along the lines. And I was saying, "Well, that's interesting, because Sunday I've got to do something along those lines." And so I was interested in what he had to say. And anyway, the teacher said this, and I want to say this, because this to me will give us a motivation. The teacher said that it's been his experience over the years that about 80% of the men and women who get delivered from sexual addictions double their income within 1 year. And I thought that was fascinating, so I began to ponder. I says, "What did he elaborate? What was the deal here?" Well, he said their minds were clearer. They weren't struggling and fighting off those images and that imagination. they were able to devote themselves more entirely to what they were there to really accomplish and do. But the main thing is that God blessed them because they defeated it and they dealt with it. Blessed are the pure in heart. Help me. For they shall see God. And when our heart's not pure and we're not attempting to deal with this stuff, there's a penalty to pay. We lose jobs, lose families. I know a man. He got sexually addicted to talking to people on the internet. He lost everything. He lost everything. He was wealthy, but he squandered it. So my incentive to you is, if you'll deal with this, God will bless you. Blessed are you. You'll live in the kingdom. You'll have an abundant life. And things will go well for you. So, what have you heard? Jesus said, you have heard it said that thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, what have you heard? Have you heard that it's okay as long as you really don't do it? Have you ever really heard it from Jesus' perspective, what he has to say? Because what he says is a lot more than just don't have it externally. He says, what's going on in your heart? What are you spending your time thinking about when you're alone? What darkness do you get in? What depravity, what animalistic things happen to you? And he says, listen, deal with it. Because I want you in heaven. I want you in my kingdom. So what have you heard? Now you've heard what Jesus had to say. So what's the main thing you heard today? I don't want you going out of here without hearing the main thing. Especially, I don't want to do this one again. What's the main thing? What's the main thing you heard? Afraid to talk, aren't you? What's the main thing? Somebody say something. Get rid of the fuel. Good, 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 good. I hope what you've heard is that lustful looking will take you to hell. Deal with it. I hope that's what you've heard. It's serious business. It really, really is. And that's kingdom morality. And that's living in the kingdom. Good. We did it. Nobody lost their hand. I didn't have to pluck out any eyes. Man. Let's pray. Father, you're so wonderful. You want us so much to have blessed lives and good lives. You so much want us to be able to bless the lives of others. You so much want our hearts turned to God and not to lust. And Lord, I ask you, Lord God, that the things we've said today will penetrate. That they'll be planted. And that they'll become strong growths in our morality. Deep-rooted trees planted by rivers of living water that brings forth fruit in its season. Good fruits. Fruits that abound. Lives of productivity. Lives of fruitfulness. And lives that we can be proud of. And so, Lord, I ask you today to plant these things deep within us. Let this become reality. And not just a lesson. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You still love me? I did pretty well on that one, didn't I? I did pretty well. Bless you. Bless you. Let's pray for some people.